protesters continue to force a temporary shutdown of an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in Portland, Oregon, more than a week after the group set up tents to blockade ICE employees from entering the building. But we want to take a step back now and take a look at the history of ICE, when the agency was created, and whether it's fulfilling its original purpose. And for that, we're joined by Deborah Kang, Associate Professor of History at California State University San Marcos. She's also author of the book, The INS on the Line, Making Immigration Law on the U.S.-Mexico Border. Professor Kang, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Let's just start at the beginning of when ICE was created, in 2003. How was it created and why?
So ICE was very much a product of 9/11. What happened is shortly after the terrorist attacks, Congress commissioned an investigation into the attacks that became the 9/11 Commission report. And that report recommended the reorganization of the nation's immigration agencies. At that time, these agencies were known as the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And under the Immigration and Naturalization Service, you had an agency called the Border Patrol. So as a result of the 9/11 Commission report, Congress in 2003 dissolved the INS and rearranged the nation's immigration agencies. Congress housed them under a brand new agency that we now know as the Department of Homeland Security. And the three immigration agencies which exist today are Citizenship and Immigration Services, Customs and Border Protection, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Mm.
So what is the scope, though, of ICE's power to detain and deport people?
So ICE's powers effectively originate, well, they originate from multiple sources. But a 1996 immigration law gave the nation's immigration agencies the power to deport larger numbers of people and to deport them more easily. Now, when this measure was passed in 1996, it's the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. When it was passed in 1996, the nation's politicians and immigration agencies didn't use it to its full effect. And what's happening now is that the nation's immigration agencies are using that measure, as well as several other measures that were passed in the 90s and after 9/11, to expand immigration law enforcement. Now, what ICE has done in using these laws, it is that it's created this kind of massive interior enforcement complex. This is a complex on which we spend approximately $7 to $8 billion a year. It's composed of 20,000 agents, ICE agents. It also consists of approximately 200 detention centers. And then the scope and scale of interior enforcement, meaning the pursuit, arrest, detention, and removal of individuals from the interior, that's unprecedented. And also because of that 96 law, what ICE is able to do with these interior enforcement operations is it not only focuses on removing immigrants who say just crossed the border illegally, it now has the power because of that 96 law to pursue, arrest, and remove LPRs, right? Long-term permanent residents who have committed some kind of crime. Mm. And it's because of that 96 law that you see this huge spike in the number of removals from the interior.
You know, many people are asking that since ICE was created in 2003, it's obviously it hasn't been around forever, right? There was Border Patrol before that. And so, you know, in the wake of all these controversial arrests, deportation, the immigration raids that we've been seeing in many places across the country, some folks who are critical of ICE say, why, you know, are they overstepping their bounds? Have they become more than what they were originally intended to be in 2003?
So that's a very difficult question to answer, because especially if somebody who's studied the history of the INS and the Border Patrol, the pattern seems to be that the Border Patrol and later CBP and ICE really get to call the shots. They really get to define the parameters of their authority to conduct immigration law enforcement. And this is very much the case because for almost 100 years now, very little oversight has been exercised over the nation's immigration agencies. And over the course of 100 years, numerous reports and investigations have been issued identifying wide-scale cases of abuse being committed by the Border Patrol and later CBP and ICE.
Interesting. But, I mean, ostensibly now, they're all under the Department of Homeland Security, right? So oversight ideally would be forthcoming from the department.
That would be the ideal. But there have been some very recent investigations into both ICE and CBP handling of adult and child immigrants. So, for example, in April, The Intercept published a report on ICE treatment of children. In May of 2018, the ACLU of San Diego published a report on CBP abuses of children. And both reports are based on documents from these agencies themselves, right? Documents that were procured through FOIA requests. And what these investigations reveal is rampant abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, even sexual abuse against these children. And this abuse, again, it's being committed by both CBP and ICE. What both reports are finding is that, you know, complaints are being filed against the agencies, but the agencies pay lip service to these complaints. And in a very, very small percentage of cases, was there found to be any wrongdoing? And then once that finding is established, usually there's no punishment for the individuals who have committed these abuses. And as I said earlier, this is a longstanding pattern. Between 2013 and 2016, five independent investigations were conducted of CBP and its operations. And the conclusions that these reports came to, and they came to them independently, is that the CBP takes really a lawless or freewheeling approach to immigration law enforcement.
And yet, even after these multiple independent investigations, there hasn't been any congressional appetite for greater oversight?
Yes. And this is a feature of history. If I can mention one other series of investigations, between 1931 and 1940, there were also five independent investigations of the Border Patrol and the massive deportations that had been undertaken by state and local authorities during the Great Depression. And the conclusions of those reports and the reports that are coming out more recently, they're striking with respect to their parallels. They're saying the same thing. History's repeating itself. Congress and the courts have traditionally taken a hands-off approach to oversight of the nation's immigration agencies. And the bottom line reason is because these agencies are dealing with non-citizens.
Right.
They're dealing with immigrants. That's one reason. The other reason is because oftentimes immigration regulation is seen as a function of national security. And this is particularly the case after 9/11. And so Congress and the courts can say, look, we aren't really going to pay too close attention to these immigration agencies because they're defending our national security. So they, in turn, they need a lot of leeway.
Well, my last question then, Professor Kang, is that we're starting to hear more criticism against ICE. I mean, some are actually calling for the agency, these are protesters calling for the agency to be abolished. What do you make of this rising criticism, not just on the individual actions of ICE, but on the agency itself?
So I understand it. I understand where it's coming from, because when you look at how removals have been conducted since 9/11, the vast majority of removals today, or the bulk of removals today, are conducted by ICE, not CBP, right? So what our nation's immigration agencies are doing is they're targeting, right, these long-term permanent residents for deportation, for removal. And that really, you know, casts a pall on our nation's immigration agencies, our nation's immigration history. So I am in full sympathy with these critiques of ICE, but I think it's unrealistic to think that if we eliminate ICE, we will get rid of the problem, because I think Congress will then turn around and expand the powers of the CBP and basically restore its powers to conduct interior enforcement. That's what it was doing before 9/11. It was doing both border and interior enforcement. So Congress will either do that or they'll create a new agency. So I think the solution is to create a permanent, some kind of permanent oversight body, and ideally by Congress, and an oversight body that has some kind of enforcement power.
Well, Deborah Kang is Associate Professor of History at California State University, San Marcos. She's also author of The INS on the Line, Making Immigration Law on the U.S.-Mexico Border. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you.